This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so let's call the meeting to order. Hello and welcome back, everyone. We have a lot of business that we need to take care of. We will go ahead and get started. So the first thing we'll do, roll call. Ashlyn, do you want me to do a roll call?
Yeah, you can do the roll call. It's fine.
Okay, so we will start. Let me get the paper. We'll start with the Arts and Humanities. Paul?
Here.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Becca? Is Becca on? Okay, no. Ariel?
Here.
Thank you, Ariel. Maddie?
Here.
Thank you, Maddie. Leo Lewis. Okay. We'll go to Physical Science and Engineering. Casey?
Here.
Thank you, Casey. Doa?
Here.
Thanks, Doa. Cody?
Here.
Thanks, Cody. Nathan?
Here.
Thanks, Nathan. We'll go to the professional schools. Emery?
Here.
Thanks, Emery. Matt Schoeffler?
Here.
Thank you. Heidi? No Heidi. Matthew Sturgeon? Allison?
Here.
Okay, thank you, Allison. We'll go with Peyton. No.
Now she's here.
She's not here?
He is here.
Okay, thank you. Ryan?
Here.
Ryan. Marvin? Marvin? Michael Davey? Michael? Megan? Elton?
Yes.
Thank you, Megan. Megan Tully?
Here.
Thank you, Megan. Jeremy?
Here.
Thank you, Jeremy. Mila?
Here.
Thank you, Mila. Catherine? Catherine Masters?
Here.
Thank you, Catherine. Everett?
I am, of course, here, and greetings from Seattle.
Thank you, Evan. And Ethan, is Ethan here? No, okay, thank you. So we do have quorum. Can we mute? When can we go ahead and mute people? And then we can.
Yep.
What does that mean?
I will care speaking.
I think that might be me. That was me, sorry.
You muted me. Okay, I can take care of that, Andy. That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So we'll go ahead and move on to the next part of the agenda, which is approval of the minutes. And those we'll start with approving the minutes from March 2nd. Are there any amendments that people would like to make? Remember, raise your hand if you have something to say, and Alexa will call on you. Okay, no amendments to the minutes from March 2nd. Okay.
Motion to approve the minutes from March 2nd.
I'll second then if you're making the motion.
Thank you. There's been a motion to approve the minutes from March 2nd, and there's been a second. Is there a dissent? Okay. There's no dissent, so the minutes from March 2nd pass. Thank you. We'll move on to minutes from March 16th. Are there any amendments that we want to make to March 16th?
I motion to approve the minutes from March 16th as is.
I'll second.
Thank you. There's been a motion to approve the minute as is, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's no dissent to approving the minutes as is for March 16th. The minutes pass as they are. unanimously. Okay, now we can get started with new business. And there's a lot going on here. So we'll start off with resolution 13, I believe, right? There was a misnumbering.
Yeah, so all of the resolutions for new business are moved up. So it's 13, 14, 15, 16.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks, Alexa. Again, Ariel will go ahead and introduce the resolution. I will share my screen. That way people can see what this is about. And this is additional donation from the GPSA to the Access Fund to support graduate and professional students in need related to COVID-19 pandemic. There was a draft of this resolution sent out with missing components, but this is the completed version, which was also posted on the Slack. So I'll go ahead and share my screen and let Ariel take over.
Andy, just really quick, this is Wendy, and I want to let you know I did set it up so that all participants can share their screens as well. So
excellent.
Makes things a little bit easier. Yep.
Thank you so much, Wendy. So Ariel, you want me to share my screen or do you want to do it?
Yeah, if you could share your screen, that would be great.
Okay, perfect. And I think when I move it, there's a little bit of lag on my part. So just bear with me on that part. Okay, there we go. The floor is yours, Ariel.
Okay, so first of all, thank you so much to Casey for actually going and figuring out how many funds were still available in the Graduate and Professional Student Programming Board. I really appreciate that effort. So basically, as you know, that programming board organizes a lot of really amazing grad and professional student events, including like the grad ball that happens every year. So clearly, due to social distancing restrictions, that event especially is not happening this year. And due to that, there are some extra funds available from the GPSPB. And basically, so the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, as you know, has already made a donation of $50,000 to the Access Fund. The Access Fund can support graduate students in a lot of different types of need, financial need relating to the coronavirus pandemic. So things such as flights, moving, even rent, groceries, electronics repairs. So there's a wide range of ways in which this fund can support students. It is generally capped at $500, but they do make exceptions in cases of extreme need. And basically, we just got the numbers today. Thank you so much to all the administrators who work on administering this fund, especially Terry Boslett, who's been my point person and who also helps so much with the Finance Commission. According to those numbers, graduate students have already been allocated over $145,000 from the Access Fund. So that obviously includes, you know, all the $50,000 we already donated. And then the total amount of donated funds was over $240,000. And so really our donation sort of triggered, you know, the graduate school's matching donation to the Access Fund. Then, you know, a lot of other departments pitched in. And a lot of other schools pitched in. So that list is also in this resolution. And we really want to thank all of those Cornell units who have made donations to this so far. So I did just want to put in the resolution, you know, there's a lot of pending transactions that are not reflected by the usage amount. So things that are still being processed. And also there's grad students who have applied to the Access Fund but haven't had a process yet. They're continuing to apply at a high rate. So despite the fact that $240,000 is greater than $145,000, I think it would still be wise for us to give these $10,000 to the Access Fund, given that we're not using them for anything else at the moment. And we also just, you know, want to emphasize that, you know, we want these funds to be administered in the same way. We want the turnaround time to continue to be quick for them. We want to emphasize that for students who are facing extreme need right now, which is some grad and professional students at Cornell, that administrators continue to waive the $500 cap and potentially allocate those students more money from the Access Fund. And then this last part is basically addressing some unprecedented instability that a lot of graduate and professional students are facing right now. So, you know, a lot of graduate students, I'm a graduate student, have sort of heard that a lot of assistantship funding is up in the air and, you know, different departments and schools are not sure where money is going to come from. And also, in addition, this crisis is really tough on students who are graduating right now, because they're basically graduating into a pandemic without health insurance, and health insurance can be extremely expensive in the U.S. and also enable people to get access to basic health services that they need, which again is super important in a pandemic. And finally, a lot of professional students, you know, rely on financial aid, or even don't rely on financial aid, but their financial circumstances have changed a lot, and that's not currently reflected in the financial aid situation that they have at the moment. This is asking, the final be it resolves are asking the university to basically support the grad and professional community with any funds it can. And specifically to ensure that all graduate students who rely on fellowship funding or assistantships do receive those in this summer and fall. To, if possible, you know, provide as much money to grad and professional students who need insurance, provide SHP health benefits to grad and professional students who are graduating and need those benefits, and also provide as much money as possible to professional students whose financial situation has changed drastically and are in need of that support. So that's the basics of this. Does anybody have questions? Are we taking these in the chat?
Let me go ahead and unmute myself. So we will be doing questions, so people can raise their virtual hand or also write them in the chat. And please wait till Alexa calls your name. That way we can take your question. As soon as Alexa, you can unmute yourself and ask your question. And let's try to be brief. That way we can try to end on time. Okay. So I'll pass the floor over to Alexa to answer questions, to ask questions.
All right, I don't see any questions. Oh, okay. Jeremy?
Yeah, hey. I'm really interested in the part about this resolution that's relating to the extension of healthcare. And I wonder if there's going to be any potential pushback from that. I mean, actually, I think with this resolution, we could just be asking for what we would like. But I wonder if you or anyone, Ariel, has any knowledge about any potential barriers to making that even possible, or if we're just going to basically ask for what we need and then just see what happens administratively after. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is a really great question. And sort of gone back and forth about whether or not to include that. I think that we should ask for what we know graduate and professional students need at this point. And, you know, a lot of people have said that they're worried about this particular situation. I unfortunately, due to the time crunch of a lot of things, was not able to find out the feasibility of this in time to include it in the resolution. So that is definitely a shortcoming of this resolution, but I do think that it is urgent that, you know, we send a signal to the university, you know, hey, the grad and professional community is struggling, and if possible, we would like these kinds of help. I don't expect that, you know, the university is going to drop everything and empty all of its, you know, endowment for us right now, given that, you know, if they don't make other cuts, the university itself is projected to be running at $100 million deficit next year. And of course, they're, you know, they did the freeze of salaries. They're, you know, nobody's traveling right now. And so there's ways that they're making cuts. So I don't expect a huge boatload of money to show up, but I really just do want to emphasize, I do think we should emphasize that, you know, the graduate school needs this, professional schools need this, the university should do what it can, because some of these schools and programs can't necessarily make all of the cuts they need in their individual programs, and that is contributing to uncertainty in the grad and professional student community.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next I have Kavya, but before Kavya starts, I just want to remind you all that if you could please edit your name to put what division you're in, so either life sciences, physical sciences, arts and humanities, professional science, professional schools, or social sciences, please do so that we can put you in the correct breakout rooms. Kavya?
Yeah, hi. So I had one question for specifically regarding the resolution, which is for the Access Fund, normally they have a what type of expenses may and may not be covered. And I know previously they weren't covering storage, other fees associated with grad school, academic expenses and stuff like that. Given the circumstances, is there more flexibility in that, specifically with like storage fees, especially, which have kind of become essential given the circumstances?
Yeah, that is a great question. I did not get a clear answer from Terry Boslow today when I asked about that, and that was entirely my fault with how I phrased the question, and I wish I could go back and, you know, tell my earlier self to phrase it better. but I did get clarification from her on all of the other things that I wrote in the list of things that are covering, so like the flights, the moving, the emergency medical expenses, electronics repairs, and groceries. So I think that for students who are experiencing extreme need due to having to store all of their things and do other things at the last minute, potentially, you know, they could receive help in terms of groceries and rent and other like necessities that I know definitely are covered by the Access Fund. And also I know like the administrators of the Access Fund are being very flexible. And also there's other, sources of aid on campus for people whose needs aren't met by the Access Fund. So for example, there's like an emergency childcare type fund, and I do not remember what it's called, but if people apply to the Access Fund for something that is not covered by the Access Fund, administrators have been referring them to the appropriate place where they can actually get help for that.
And this is not a question that I guess you can specifically answer, but maybe someone from grad school like Jan can. Is Cornell putting money into the Ithaca community? I'm specifically thinking in terms of healthcare. Obviously, for graduate students who are staying on campus, if they do fall sick and need hospital services, it's going to probably be something like Cayuga Medical. So I guess, is there that communication with the community, the larger community itself, where maybe some of this money might be needed?
Yeah. I'm sure those conversations are happening. I have not heard that Cornell is giving money to the community. I know there's a lot of organization and volunteer efforts for, there's incredible stuff going on at Cornell with a wine lab being, some of you may be working in a wine lab that is retrofitted to make hand sanitizer. Barton Hall is full of people with sewing machines making masks to give to Cayuga Medical Center. But I can ask that question and see if there's some more detailed information. Because as far as I know, I've only heard about the things that Cornell's doing with Cornell money for Cornell, you know, students.
Right.
But I'll find out. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, I have Everett.
And the payments, whatever, for it. Now,
the first part of your question was you were muted. Can you repeat?
Oh, sorry. I gotta take these things out because I don't think they're working too well. Hold on a second. All right, let's try this now. Hopefully this works. Hold on.
Hear me now.
Well, yeah, you were just muted. I just had to unmute you.
Oh. Might be better that we try. Anyway. So my question is, like, regarding Access Fund applications, is some percentage of students, myself included, had to effectively vacated their Ithaca abodes, whether or not they actually had their leases terminated. My lease isn't out yet. I know I'll have to go back at some point this summer to go vacate my abode in Ithaca. Now, for those students who did make applications to the Access Fund in order to get home, will there be the options for, say, additional rounds or an additional round of Access Fund funding for those students who need to, you know, like go back and grab their stuff or deal with vacating with leases and stuff like that? Because, like, I mean, obviously some people weren't able to vacate their abodes in Ithaca and still had to leave. So.
Right. Yeah. So my understanding is that basically the Access Fund is capped at 500 per student, except in cases of severe need. So if a person in that circumstance has used less than $500, they could make an additional application to the Access Fund up to the cap of $500 to cover some of those expenses. So yeah, you can request multiple different things up to $500.
No, my question was if they already hit the cap of the 500.
No, if a student has already hit the cap of 500, but has severe need, then the Access Fund can provide more money. But typically the limit is $500. And remember, so with that $500 cap, $145,000 has already been allocated. So part of the reason for the cap, in my understanding of it, is that there's just so many different students who have need at this point. And of course, you know, this resolution and, you know, all of the people who have donated are trying to find as much money as possible to put in the Access Fund. But, you know, it's my
Certainly, I understand that. I was just curious. I was just curious as trying to figure out.
Yeah,
because obviously the MN students, we were all, and I know some percentage chose not to leave Ithaca, mm-hmm. but like many of us had more or less had to.
Yeah.
That's a great question, Everett. Ariel, if I could just chime in real quick. That's a great question, and I think a lot of graduate and professional students can identify with that. But right now, let's try to focus directly on the resolution itself.
Sorry,
No, it's just a general comment. So just if you have any questions directly to the Access Fund, you can email Shakima or the Access Fund at cornell.edu, and they will be able to handle those questions. Ariel, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I just want to also quickly direct everybody to Jan Allen's comment on the chat, which is really relevant. Like I said, not everything is being done directly through the Access Fund. So if you're a graduate student who needs a computer, or if you have software needs, you should send your requests through the individual school that you're a part of. That is how that's currently being processed. So there is money available for people who need computers, but it's being processed through individual schools. So thank you, Jan, for pointing that out, because I'm sure people have questions about it.
Thanks, Jen. So let's again try to limit the questions directly about the resolution itself or the clauses or the any questions that Ariel can answer as one of the authors of the resolution.
Right. Also try to limit back and forth. So one question, one answer per person. If you have another question, raise your hand again. Mila?
Hello. thank you so much. I think the resolution is good and is needed. So thank you so much for making it. I do have one concern that I don't know, maybe if it can be included in this resolution or maybe in another one, but I am concerned about a lot of students that don't have access to internet. And since there's a huge population in the graduate student population that live outside Ithaca, internet connection might not be the best. And I know a lot of my classmates that have been asking me, for example, to come to my house to use my internet connections, and that we know all know that's not like in favor of COVID-19 measures. So I don't know if we can use the access fund specifically to help those person in need in order to, you know, attend classes, or maybe, I don't know, I'm just brainstorming right now if we need to make another resolution in order to maybe open some spaces in university to those people. I don't know, maybe it's not really connected to this resolution. But I think it's important to think about it.
Yeah, so my understanding at this point, and anybody correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Access Fund would cover internet access as like a key service to people who can't afford it. Like, it's basically a key utility. So again, anybody correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the Access Fund can cover that. And if you would like to make a friendly amendment to add that to the list of things that are covered by the Access Fund, starting on line 43 and ending on line 45, I bet we could do that really quickly.
Okay.
And if not, I think the individual departments or the schools themselves are working on helping those students with that endeavor as well. So if you request it through the Access Fund, you might be redirected toward your own department or school, which might already have a solution.
Good point. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any more questions.
Okay, so I would like to motion that we suspend the article in the bylaws that indicate that we need to wait to discuss this resolution until the next meeting. And that we vote on this resolution today.
I will second such a motion.
So I'll call the motion was to suspend the bylaws to the article on the bylaws, which states that we have to wait till the next meeting, which is on May 4th. And Ariel, so that's the motion that's on the floor now, to suspend that article on the bylaws. That would make us wait.
Cody has a question.
Okay. So we'll can you resend the motion, Ariel, please?
Wait, what should I do?
Rescind the motion.
Okay, I rescind the motion.
Okay. The motion has been rescinded. Is there a dissent or a second?
Second.
There's been a second. Is there a dissent? No, seeing none. Wait, Alexa.
Okay, Cody.
Yeah, so I just realized from this, and I apologize if there was a better timing for me to bring this up. But, you know, I, like with the GPSA, the faculty awards were not going to be taking place this year. So, and I don't know if any other of the committees are in a similar situation where I have also funding that was set aside. And I don't know if what the best way to, I mean, it would be great to also take funds from, you know, that are just being set aside for the GPSA faculty awards and put them towards the same cause. And I don't know what the right process for that would be. So I don't know if this is, you know, who I should be addressing this question to, but it would be great to have just to hear for a second what I should do in that.
I think if you have an exact amount that you know is available to donate, we could make a quick amendment and add that to the resolution today. Otherwise, you know, I think the funds won't be completely lost. And I know that Andy has been working really hard to, in the future, set up something like a Students Helping Students Fund, So probably those funds could be used in the future for graduate student need in a really great way. And also, you know, we have the meeting in May, at which point we could definitely like revisit additional people who have money they could donate to the Access Fund. So that's a great point. And thank you so much for being willing to contribute from your committee. So yeah, if you have that amount today, we can add it. Otherwise, you know, sit tight and the money can go to a good use.
Thank you so much for that, Cody. To kind of answer your question, I have been working on starting a Students Helping Students graduate edition. And I know that I wanted to use some of the reserve funds in the reserve account. So the way that the exec has talked about this is that this is an urgent need that we need to call for. And we've already donated $50,000 and possibly $10,000 more. But if we want something that's more long-term, then we can think about maybe saving that money and putting it in the reserve fund. That way it could be accessible to this possible long-term plan that will be specifically for grad and professional students. That's a discussion that's still ongoing. I'm still doing the homework on that. There's a couple of missing pieces that I need to work on, but that's another way that you can contribute to the same cause, graduate and professional student needs, but just in a different manner. That's not so urgent now. But it'll be up to your committee what you would decide to do with that money.
Great.
I hope, did that answer your question?
Yeah, just wanted to make sure I wouldn't lose it now if I, you know.
And then I also see a question from Allison and a comment from Jake. Jake says, as a note for software, Adobe Suite is now free for students because of the pandemic. So contact your admin assistant. Thank you, Jake. And Allison wants to know if the money that's being reallocated, is it funding that would roll over for next year's budget, or is this semester the only semester to use it?
My understanding is that this $10,000 that we're donating will likely be used by the immediate needs of the Access Fund. I think it's unlikely that that would not happen. If you have questions, because I'm not sure which money this is talking about, if you have questions about Finance Commission money that's been allocated, say, to like your group, and whether or not that and how that is available to you right now, you can ask me through email as a Finance Commission officer. Thanks.
Just, I know some people might not know how to use the hand raising feature. So basically how you do that is you go to participants, and then at the bottom of participants, it'll give you the option to raise your hand, just for people to know. But other than that, I don't see any further questions.
Great. All right. So I now motion to suspend the bylaws that indicate that we have to wait to discuss this resolution until next meeting in May.
Second.
Okay. There's been a motion to discuss the bylaws, the section on the bylaws which says that we need to wait till the next meeting to discuss the resolution. And I heard a second from Everett. Is there any dissent?
I need to stand up front.
And Alexa, is there any dissent?
I don't see any.
Seeing none? Okay. So we have now suspended the section of the bylaws which state that we need to wait another meeting to discuss the resolution. So now we officially are in the discussion of the resolution, which means that we can make edits to the resolution. And we can change it to fit our needs before we call it to question and put it to vote. Okay. So Alexa, I'm going to need maybe your help in. Let me see if I could do the edits, and if I have trouble with that, I will ask for your assistance. If that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're opening up the floor to make any edits to the resolution as it is. Or if you feel comfortable, call it to question. So if you need to make an edit, raise your hand, your virtual hand, or put it in the chat. Or if anyone would like to call it to question, which means that we will vote on the resolution and decide whether it passes or doesn't pass.
I would like to make a motion to call it to question and vote.
Okay, there's been a motion to call it to question. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay.
I see that. Oh, never mind. Okay. Go ahead.
I heard multiple seconds. Is there any dissent to voting on this resolution as it is without any amendments? No? I'm not looking at the participants. Let me.
There's no dissent. There's nobody raising.
There's no dissent. Okay. So now we are voting on the resolution as it is without any amendments. So we'll go with, if you vote in favor, please use the yes button. This is voting members only.
There we go.
This is voting members only if you approve of the resolution. Okay. Last chance to vote. And this is approving the resolution as it is without any amendments. Okay. Is there any dissent on the resolution? Approving the resolution as it is. Is there any abstentions? Are there any abstentions? For this one, how can we do that? So right now I have 12 in favor. 13 in favor. 14 in favor.
15.
Caramba. 15 in favor. Okay, that's what we'll, 16. 16 in favor. Last call. Okay, we'll stop it at 16 in favor. Do we have any dissent? Will for this use the no option? I'll give you 10 more seconds. Nope, seeing none. Okay, is there abstentions? So for this, you can eliminate your vote for the yes, and then if you choose to abstain, vote again yes. Okay. So we have 5 abstentions. So we have a vote of 16-0.
I don't think it's, I think people don't know how to take away their yes
vote. Oh, okay.
So there's 18 voting members present. So 16 voted yes, 0 voted no, and 2 abstained.
Okay. With that, with a vote of 16-0, we have 25 members to 9. The resolution passes. Congratulations, Ariel.
Great. Thank you all. And thank you to Casey so much. And this is really going to help people.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Jaren. Let me see if I can clear all. There we go. Thank you. That's going to be helpful for the next resolutions. Okay. So we're going to eliminate those votes. Okay. So we are ready for our next resolution, which is resolution 14. And this is Ariel again. So Ariel, let me bring it up. that looks weird on my screen.
Do you want me to bring it up?
Could you clarify which resolution is number 14, and then I can start talking about it?
Yes. The next resolution we are going to talk about is in support of the university allowing international graduate students to TA remotely during the summer 2020 session and the fall of the 2020 semester. I think I got it, Alexa, but let me check real quick.
Yeah. We know that a lot of international graduate students already left to go back to their home in another country, and that a lot of other graduate students are, you know, abroad somewhere, and all of these graduate students don't know whether or not they're going to be able to physically get back to campus in time if there's going to be in-person summer or fall teaching assistantships that they would need to take. So basically, you know, based on a response that Jason Kahabka gave to an Ask a Dean question, and just a lot of the sort of uncertainty in general around this, a lot of international students are wondering whether their funding is up in the air right now. And so we know that the graduate school is already working on ways to try and get international students and other people who are abroad legal TA ships effectively, you know, whether that's calling them something else besides TA ships, or, you know, just trying to find a way to get that funding to students. So basically, we really want to emphasize to the university that this should be a priority for their legal resources, figuring out how to get these international students funding, because, you know, students rely on this funding. If they can't get funding for a semester, that might mean that they have to stop or quit their PhD. And international students are a really key part of the Cornell community. And they're also, you know, our future innovators in science, the humanities, every single field. And so we really don't want to lose this whole important generation of international scholars from our community. So basically, anything the university can do to find legal ways to, in effect, give remote teaching positions to these students who would normally rely on assistantships, that's what we want them to pursue.
If there's any section that you guys want to see, let me know. I had a little bit of trouble there.
So yeah, and one other, you know, thing to note is we've already had this transition to virtual learning for the rest of the spring semester. So we know that, you know, professors have this knowledge, graduate students have this knowledge, and that the university has the technical capabilities to do remote learning. So really, we do think that graduate students would be able to be effective teaching assistants, even if they're abroad and doing so remotely.
Thank you. I see a question from Jaren.
Hi, yeah.
Sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, you can't hear me very well?
A little louder.
Let me try to turn my mic up a bit. Give me 1 second.
Just going to lean in.
Yeah, here we go.
That's better.
All right, I'm leaning way in. So I know that the university has indicated already in that very Ask a Dean question that they can pay graduate students abroad definitely if with SAGE fellowships, which are just discretionary fellowships the university can give to students. I think it might be wise to add a resolved asking that the university, if their legal department comes back and decides that they cannot give out assistantships to these students, that they extend SAGE fellowships to any affected student. Because, I mean, if they can't get an assistantship, there's money somewhere.
I really think that would be amazing if all of these students could just be given fellowships. I'm not, so I do not understand all of the technical details. I think that there's a limited amount of like fellowship funding available, and the graduate school itself has limited resources. So I think that, you know, emphasizing that we want, you know, TA positions to be, you know, allowed to happen virtually, and that we want like the legal department to find out how to do that. Like, I think that that would be a priority because it would definitely cover, you know, all students. Whereas if there's, you know, a limited amount of fellowship funding, I'm not sure whether that would cover all of the international students. I think that's an absolutely great point. If you have language that you do want to add to this, if you could like tell us the specific language that you want to add and where, I think we could consider it.
Do you plan to suspend the rules and try to pass this today, or is this going to be
something
we can? Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I just think that it's kind of urgent that like university like legal teams get on this. So yeah, if you can think of a way to add that into this resolution, yeah, would definitely be. I've noticed a big error, which is that Kavya, who is the chair of DISC, Diversity and International Students Committee, is a co-sponsor on this resolution. So if we could add her to the sponsors list and the signers at the end. It looks like we have a question.
From Kavya.
Hi, sorry. So I've actually been trying to figure out the exact same thing for the last week, which is what I'm doing as a TA for next year. So I haven't had a chance to go over this completely. One of the things I did want to note, for students that have visa difficulties, that's, I think, generally going to be an issue because a lot of embassies in countries are shutting down. So there are going to be visa delays. But unfortunately, if the student doesn't have a visa, I don't think there's anything the legal department can do as a go-around to fund them as a student. Because I don't even think they can start as a student without that student visa. So that's definitely going to be an issue.
Yes.
and the second thing, and I'm sorry, this is a question from Catherine. Yes, and I know this myself, there are a lot of visa issues that can come into play because of this. Different countries also have different specifications on what counts as a student. And so there's already questions of, since we moved to online learning, does that really count as being a student in person and all? But there's also been a lot of flexibility that's happening because of this pandemic. So I feel like it's constantly evolving. So I'm fine with maybe adding a clause that says the Office of Global Learning ensures that this doesn't jeopardize visa status of international students. But I think the legal department's looking at that anyway. Like, they're looking for a way to fund TAs remotely that will not jeopardize the visa status. So we can make that more explicit if people want it. But that's the entire thing the legal department's looking at right now.
Right. Great suggestion, Kavya. But just so everyone's on the same page, right now we are discussing the resolution. So any questions? This is the Q&A portion. And then it looks like Ariel will want to discuss the resolution, which is where we can make these amendments. So right now, it's still the Q&A session. And I believe we might have some questions and answers from the chat. Jan wants to mention that the TA, RA, GRA stipends versus fellowships are contingent upon tax federal law. So Cornell will need to work within the constraints of the U.S. and international law. And then we'll go ahead and go with, Kavya, did that answer your question?
Yes. Well, okay. I mean, I didn't really have a question. It was more of a clarification, note of clarification.
Okay, perfect.
I also want to emphasize, you know, I'm not an international student, so I don't understand all of the perspectives on this. So I do really welcome, you know, edits to this resolution, or sorry, amendments to this resolution, and also like any comments from everybody, and especially like people who are facing this kind of situation right now.
Mm-hmm. So before I go on, Jen also says that some programs, especially professional masters, which are primarily course-based, began last week to develop an online option in line with the in-residence option for new international students who can start in the fall while remaining in their home country. So that's good to know.
Yeah. So we want something like that, but for like graduate students to be able to like teach remotely. But yeah, yeah.
Kat, did you still have a question? Catherine?
Sorry, hi Andy. Somewhat. So I know in my program as well, we've been having issues with, we have an internship requirement part of my program. And obviously we're running into the same issues with the international students, many who have left. And sort of a question slash suggestion, because like I said, with the visa situations, it does get very, very sticky, and they already are making a lot of exemptions for us. Is this more of a suggestion, or have they already looked into alternative sort of measures? So I know for us, they suggested doing more research or something alongside with a professor and an eCornell course, something to do with that, as opposed to us actually working within the industry. I don't know if that was something that had also been sort of floated to other international graduate students in other programs.
Yeah, great question. I think the issue here is that assistantships generally provide funding that basically, you know, subsidizes the cost of living and is almost like a salary that graduate students rely on. So there's a lot of like restrictions on like whether or not they can be paid by the university for certain things. So like graduate students definitely can find alternate ways to do their research within their home country if they're stranded. But in order to, you know, support themselves while they're doing that on, you know, what can be like a 7-year long PhD, for example, you know, they do need that financial support from the university. So it's less about, you know, what scholarly activities they're doing and more about trying to find a way to pay these students.
Right, for sure, because obviously we were not an unpaid internship. We are expecting to get paid at the same time too.
Okay.
So yeah, we are in a similar situation. The difference is we're an 18-month program, not a 7-year long PhD.
Yeah.
But as an international student in this current situation, the last thing that I would want to do is jeopardize my visa situation so that I could stay and I could work in the US in the future. So it's kind of a, I think it's better for the university to look into sort of more fellowships for them to help sort of financially support them that way, as opposed to paying them while they're not physically working in the country.
Yeah. So Jaren just mentioned that. So if you guys, maybe we could start like putting stuff in the chat, like language that you guys want to end to this resolution. Okay, great. perfect. Jaren's working on it.
Sorry about that. I didn't see that.
I think just from a procedural perspective, unless we suspend the bylaws and vote on this resolution today, we can't make amendments to it until we discuss it.
Okay, I would like to motion to suspend the article in the bylaws that we have to wait to discuss this until next time. Can I do that?
Second.
Wait.
Not yet, second. Because there's still another question.
Yes,
okay.
Wait.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
When you second, please raise your hand that way, with your virtual hand.
Well, unfortunately, the Zoom chat has overtaken the entire participants list, so I have to minimize it in order to do that.
No, it's okay, Everett. The participants list, Alexa, myself, and Wendy can see the virtual hands, and that's aside from the...
I understand that. What I'm saying is that the group chat, if it's on, I can't raise my hand because it blimps out the window.
Oh, okay.
So I have to have the Zoom chat minimized in order to raise my hand.
Right. So that's okay. So maybe you can let someone else second instead. So just as a procedural thing, keep in mind that the conversation is being recorded, not necessarily the chat. So if you can raise your hands to ask questions, there's no way for us to capture the conversation that's going on in the chat, or if you have a comment. So before we motion to discuss the resolution, we'd like to take a question from Jake.
Yeah, so I just had a quick question. Does anyone know how Cornell University handles export controls? Because that's something that's definitely going to come up. So generally, export controls go over things like how information is distributed to foreign countries and companies and that sort of deal. So I don't know if we have any specific language that we could maybe include about that.
I super don't know anything about that. If you have language you want to add, also please like inform me about that. Because
clarify why that would faculty. Be.
What? The audio cut out.
I could clarify why you think that would be necessary.
Because generally, if we're working remotely, likely, I don't know, foreign governments might have access to the internet and what people are doing with their documents. So that might be breaking export controls. Let me see if I can find something on the website, but I suppose you can just go ahead with the motion while I find it.
Okay. John just put it in the chat.
Okay, excellent.
Before you motion, let me make sure that there aren't any other questions. Jan put in a link for export control information. And I don't see any other questions. So going once, going twice. That's it. Okay, cool. Ariel.
All right, cool. So I motion to suspend the bylaws that require that we need to wait to discuss the resolution until next GPSA meeting for this resolution.
Great. So there's been a motion to suspend the section of the bylaws once again. That will allow us to discuss the resolution. And I do see a second from Everett. Thank you, Everett and Cody. Is there any dissent to suspending the article in the bylaws that will allow us to discuss the resolution now? Everett, I'm gonna lower your hand to make sure that that's not a dissent. If that's a dissent, then there's been a dissent from Megan. Okay. So the motion to suspend the bylaws does not pass. So we can not discuss this resolution. Okay.
Andy, thank you for lowering my hand. I didn't realize I had to do that separately in order for it not to be considered as.
No, yeah, no worries, got it. Okay, so the motion to suspend the bylaws does not. So we're back to the Q&A again. So are there any questions? Alexa, can you let me know if there are any questions?
I don't see any.
Okay. So there are not any questions. And we don't have the option to suspend the article.
Sorry, Andy, I raised my hand accidentally. I'm like, I'm myself. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we're back. Thank you, Megan, for the clarification. The motion that was put in place was to suspend the article in the bylaws that says that we have to wait to the next meeting to discuss a resolution and vote on it. Again, I saw a second. Is there any dissent to suspending the article in the bylaw? I don't see any. Okay, so there's no dissent, so the motion passes. Okay, so we can discuss this resolution. Which means we can make amendments, change language, and so forth. Okay. If you have an amendment, please raise your hand and write it. And
do you want me to share screen so I can track changes?
Yes, please. That would be great. I'm going to stop sharing mine now. Okay. So I see now that I have the full screen back on my screen. So Jaren, let's give Alexa like a minute so she can share her screen.
Of course.
And then we can start with your amendment.
Let me just turn on track changes.
Excellent.
And also, Kavya, do you still want to co-sponsor this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Do we need to vote on that amendment, or was that just forgotten?
No, yeah, I forgot to update that.
Okay, so that's not an amendment. So we can go ahead and put that as a, there we go, yeah.
Okay, Jaren, I'm ready.
All right, so I just paste it into the chat, but I'll read it aloud as well. I'd like to propose an amendment to be inserted between lines 35 and 36. I guess maybe this might also want to resolve a whereas somewhere earlier mentioning the fact that Sage Fellowships are exempt from the rules that might complicate assistantships, but here's the resolve. Be it further resolved, if at the end of that research, the university concludes the assistantships cannot be allocated to students living internationally, the university should coordinate with colleges and departments to redirect funds that would have gone to assistantships to expand the SAGE Fellowship Program for affected students.
Okay. We'll give Alexa a couple of seconds to finish writing that out. But the amendment that Jaren proposed was to add this between line 35 and 36. And the amendment is being typed out as we like. Yes.
Sorry, I need to raise my hand. Jaren, I really love this amendment. Do you think it would make more sense after the university dedicating legal resources to try and do virtual TA positions? Because it seems like they would do that process first. Or
that's where I meant it to be. Between.
Okay, so yeah. So it looks like.
I meant it to be stuff. Resolve. Sorry.
Wait.
So it would be its own, be it resolved. Okay.
Okay.
One sec.
So for sake of clarification, Jaren, that amendment was its own resolve.
Yes, indeed. So I guess between lines 36 and 37, everything got moved when the new co-sponsor.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Okay, so the amendment is to add a whole new clause, be it therefore resolved, and it will, we see it, there we go. It's in the screen. So is there any, is there a second to this amendment? We're only voting.
Oh, sorry, second.
Okay, there's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Zola raised her hand.
But that was 4 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any dissent?
So I have a question. I don't know if I don't want to dissent. I just want to ask what SAGE Fellowship is for those that we don't know.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So we can, a SAGE Fellowship is a fellowship for graduate students. That I know we have it in arts and humanities. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if.
Yeah, so since this is a graduate professional whole school, maybe it can be more open and not only SAGE Fellowship, because it's really restrictive to only those that are studying that. And for example, SIPA will not apply or life sciences will not apply either. So I think it would be. Because this is legal language, there's not need to be so restrictive, and we could say like any graduate school fellowship.
Yeah, I'm happy to include that instead of SAGE. I didn't know that SAGE was not synonymous with Cornell Fellowship.
Okay, so that wasn't an amendment to an amendment. We're still working on this amendment.
Okay,
you can just nix SAGE if you would like. You could just say expand. University fellowship
program. Graduate school fellowships. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No. That was an excellent point. Thank you very much. Yes.
University.
As a quick question, are there any professional school fellowships specifically? Because I'm not aware of any.
I don't know. Any of our professional students want
to. So what happens, my case is an example. I have a fellowship from my program, but it's funded by the graduate school. So it's like my program is SIPA, so SIPA gives me money, but it's funded by the Goddess School. So it's kind of like a triangulation. So I think it's the same. It's the same funding. It's my guess. But I think there's a huge funding that has the graduate school funds fellowships.
Okay, thank you, Mila. Just the SAGE fellowship. Thank you, Jeremy, for adding into the chat. Is our 2-year fellowships, first year and then dissertation year, with 4 summers of funding. These include stipend, tuition, and individual health insurance. SAGE fellowships cannot be stacked with another fellowship in the same academic year. Okay, so that's for graduate students. Okay, so Ariel, is that still in this amendment?
Oh, yeah, sorry, it just should be plural. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I don't know if this can be in the same amendment or if it should be another one, but in the be it finally resolved, that the university and graduate school allow graduate students, blah, blah, to receive a full semester remote TA position or a legally similar position, comma, or a fellowship position, comma, during the summer 2020, whatever.
Okay, before we move on to that next amendment, we'll need a vote on this one.
Okay.
Okay, so right now the amendment is, be it further resolved, if at the end of that research, the university concludes that assistantships cannot be allocated to students living internationally, the university should coordinate with colleges and departments to redirect funds that would have gone to assistantships to expand university fellowship programs for affected students. That is the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's been a second. Thank you. There's been multiple seconds. Is there any dissent to having that amendment added to the whole resolution? Seeing none, okay, the amendment passes. Any abstentions? Seeing none, okay, yeah, the amendment passes. Now we can go on and do another amendment, Ariel.
Yeah, so in the be it finally resolved, after the parentheses, just to add, or a fellowship position.
Okay, so the...
So after the end of the parentheses,
after the
to add or a fellowship position.
Okay, the proposed amendment is to add in line 44 or a fellowship position. Is there a second on that amendment? Okay, thank you, Doa. Thank you, Jeremy. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Okay, that amendment passes. So we have added or a fellowship after the parentheses in clause 41. Okay. Any other amendments or discussion on the resolution or call to question? Jaron.
Yeah, I have one more amendment that's related to the one I just proposed. It's just proposing a whereas somewhere earlier. I haven't really looked at it close enough to decide what's most appropriate, but the whereas would read, whereas students on fellowships are generally not required to be in the country.
Can we put it after all the other whereases?
Completely. I think that would be this. Yep, perfect.
Okay, so thank you, Jaron. The proposed amendment is to add a whereas clause, specifically in line 35, which states students on fellowships are generally not required to be in the country. That is the amendment. Kavya, did you have a question on that amendment, or did
this is going to be a different amendment.
Okay, so the current amendment is to include that clause. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's been a second. Is there any dissent to adding the amendment, a whereas clause, students on fellowships are generally not required to be in the country? Seeing none, okay, the amendment passes. Okay, and Alexa, with the amendments that have been passed, can you change them? Can you accept the changes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can do that later if you want. Any other, Jaron, did you have another one, or did you forget to lower your hand? Okay, Kavya?
Yeah, I just had a quick amendment following some conversation that after line 37, graduate students living internationally, maybe just a phrase that says, while protecting visa status.
Okay. There has been an amendment to include while protecting.
There's a better way to phrase that. Let me know. Sorry.
While protecting visa status in the be it therefore resolved class to add this to that amendment. This amendment is to add that section to that clause. I'll repeat that. That was very confusing even for me. Okay. So there's been an amendment to add protecting visa status to the be it therefore resolved that the university should dedicate significant legal resources to find a way to, in effect, allocate virtual TA positions to graduate students living internationally. And the amendment is to add while protecting visa status. Okay. Is there any discussion on that amendment or anything?
Second. Oh, wait, 3 seconds.
Yeah, perfect. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Okay. The amendment passes. Right now, we're back to the whole resolution. Are there any other amendments that we would like to make to this resolution or call to question? Which means that we would vote.
If there's no further comments or amendments.
Sorry, I have a quick note that I'm not a life sciences voting member. I'm just a disco chair.
Yeah. Good call.
I'm stuck in 2018. There
you
go.
Okay.
Maybe we should type out DISC just to make it clear that it's a relevant committee.
No, she's a DISC jockey.
I mean.
That was a formal amendment, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's just being an idiot.
So are we back? We're back to the resolution. Any other amendments? Or do you guys want to vote? All two questions.
I'm all for voting if nobody else has anything to say.
Okay, thank you, Edward.
Second.
There's been a call to question and there's been a second. Is there any dissent to voting on this resolution with the amendments? Okay. So we are now going to vote on the resolution as it is. So we will use the yes button to vote. So right now, all those in favor, please press yes. If you have any questions or trouble, let us know in the chat. Okay, right now we're voting yes in favor of this resolution. Resolution 14, in support of the university allowing international graduate students to TA remotely during the summer 2020 session and the fall 2020 semester. Okay, last call for all in favor. Okay, I see 16. So 17. Okay, that was the last call for all in favor, 17. I'm gonna clear. Those of you opposed, please use the no function. Okay, last call for now. Okay, so we have the final count is caramba. 17-0-8, and this resolution 14 in support of the university allowing international graduate students to TA remotely during the summer 2020 session and the fall 2020 semester passes. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you so much to Jaren and Kavya for those really great edits. I think it makes this resolution a lot stronger.
Okay. Are we ready for the next one? Okay. Alexa, can you, the next resolution is, do you want me to share my screen or would you like to? I can bring it up. Okay. So this is resolution 15, requesting that first year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold asynchronous discussions only if appropriate for their class. This is another resolution sponsored by Ariel.
So this was brought to my attention by some medieval studies graduate students who received their funding from being first-year writing seminar instructors. But I know that, you know, a lot of people across the humanities and a few people who are not in the humanities, a lot of those graduate students also receive their funding from being first-year writing seminar instructors because it is, you know, it is a requirement for undergraduates to take these courses at some point. So there are a lot of them. So basically, these graduate students received a communication from a dean that they had to both hold synchronous discussions and then record those synchronous discussions and have the other students view those discussions asynchronously if they could not attend the synchronous discussions. And so while it definitely makes sense to do it this way for a lot of classes, there are some concerns for some specific instructors who cannot hold their classes this way, specifically instructors who have internet connectivity issues are not able to really do this sort of synchronous learning and recording. And then also for instructors who cover sensitive topic matter, a lot of professors have been harassed online by alt-right trolls who basically post videos of discussions happening in classes and then use that to, you know, get people harassing a professor. And so, there are a lot of classes where this wouldn't be an issue, but there are some classes. So say, you know, the instructor is talking about, the Crusades, and then white supremacy comes up and the instructor, you know, dismisses that. So, this video could be posted online and of course it's password protected, but it only takes one person to post this online, and then a bunch of trolls could start harassing the instructor, who is just a graduate student who shouldn't have to deal with that. So then just based on equity concerns, there are a lot of classes where a lot of the students actually couldn't attend in person, and so really like creating this like two-tier system where some students get to have synchronous discussion and others have to do asynchronous discussion might not actually work for all classes in terms of providing an equitable learning experience to all of the students. So basically this resolution isn't saying that we want, all first-year writing seminars to be held asynchronously. It's just that instructors who feel that asynchronous discussions would be the best format for their class can move to doing that without repercussions.
Thank you, Ariel. So now we'll open it up for questions.
Oh, sorry, I should have mentioned. So although I am the sponsor on this resolution and I wrote the language is almost entirely based off of an open letter that three medieval studies students signed and wrote the contents of. So I'm here to sponsor it on their behalf and hopefully on the behalf of other first-year writing seminar instructors.
Thank you, Ariel. Thank you for that clarification. Alexa, do you want to take over the question?
Sure. I have Catherine.
Hi. So just because obviously there's a huge difference between sort of synchronous and asynchronous teaching, especially when it comes to certain classes. And I completely agree that it has to be one or another for certain things. Given the short amount of time that is left during class, is there another way that they can teach these courses without it being discussion based? or?
Yeah, so one of the things that they were directed to do was also to hold a second asynchronous discussion through Canvas. So the idea would be if there would be a, you know, synchronous discussion happening, and then, you know, people would watch that asynchronously, but then there would also entirely separately be an asynchronous discussion with some of the same things being discussed. So from the perspective of, you know, some specific classes, this also is just like logistically a confusing format because they're holding two discussions, you know, covering the same material in different formats. So the basically like asynchronous discussions on Canvas could continue and allow students to discuss the material in a back and forth way and have the instructor contribute and moderate, even if, you know, they're held, if the class is held entirely asynchronously. So this is really, you know, just, you know, if the first year writing seminar instructor thinks it would be the best option for their class, you know, they should be able to hold it asynchronously.
Right, because I do think, number one, we have to accommodate those students who have moved halfway across the world during this pandemic, and they are 13 hours different. It is unfair to expect them to do their classes in the middle of the night, or if they are choosing to do that, they also have families which they're going to wake up during this time. So every professor should accommodate that, and they should not expect every single member of their class, especially, I'm not sure about the undergraduate, but I know the graduate school is, you know, majority, like 50-60%, we are international students. I'm lucky I'm only an hour time difference. Woo! But there has to be asynchronous teaching now, and I understand it is a writing class. I understand it is a class very much based on discussion, but if it is a writing class as well, then maybe this is a time for you to say you need to learn to be able to write and discuss your ideas and thoughts in your writing, not by speaking. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jaren?
Yeah, so I guess I've had some of what I was confused about cleared up by this conversation. There's some confusion in the text. I mean, I really like the resolved line. Very good. The abstract is confusing because asynchronous discussion, meaning like a forum discussion, and asynchronous discussion, meaning a recorded discussion section, like saying asynchronous discussion mean either of those things. I think it's a good resolution. It might be nice to change the resolution title to better reflect the content of the resolved line, which is that people should do it, be able to do whatever they see fit, and not have something about asynchronous discussion, whatever that means, specifically.
Yeah, that is great. So if you can think of an amendment to that, I would really welcome it. I want to note that it's entirely my fault that the title is that way. And actually in the original letter that the medieval studies students wrote, one of the things they took issue with was that the definitions of synchronous and asynchronous weren't defined in university communications to them. So I didn't get around to adding that to this document, but for sure the definitions of those are up in the air, and you're right that it would clarify things to change that word in the title, so thank you.
Any other questions?
I'd like to remind people that we do have 5 minutes left in our regular meeting.
Motion to extend the meeting by a half an hour.
There's been a motion to extend the meeting by half an hour. Catherine, is that
second? That's a second.
Okay, there's been a second. Is there any dissent to extending the meeting by half an hour? Seeing none. Okay, the meeting has been extended by half an hour. Thank you. We can continue on with business. Any other questions, Alexa?
I don't see any other questions.
Oh. Sorry, I've just got one more. Is there a way to amend this? Because I think, or just to clarify, when you say discussions, whether they are sort of video and in person as opposed to on Canvas in the discussion forums, sort of that way.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get across is that students shouldn't, or instructors shouldn't be forced to hold video discussions if they don't feel that that's appropriate for their class. And then they shouldn't be forced to, you know, make other students watch the video discussions and everything that goes along with that. So if you can think of a way to phrase this in terms of, you know, live video discussions, I would very much welcome that amendment.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect.
Any other questions?
I don't see any.
Okay, we've exhausted the list.
All right, I would like to motion to suspend the article and bylaws that indicates that we have to wait to discuss this until the next meeting.
Okay, there's been a motion to suspend the article and the bylaws that would have make us wait. I see a second. Is there any dissent?
No.
Catherine, is that a dissent?
No, she had it up for a while.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay, so no dissent. So now we can continue to discuss the resolution, which is to make amendments. And I see one from Jaren. Alexa, would you mind, there we go, making your screen bigger. Okay, Jaren, do you have a proposed amendment?
Yes, I'd like to propose an amendment to the title of the resolution, which changes the end after instructors to be allowed to hold virtual discussions in whatever way they deem appropriate.
Okay, so the amendment is to change the title. So it says, requesting that first year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold virtual discussions in whatever way they deem appropriate. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
There's been a second. Is there any dissent to changing the title to this amendment? Okay, seeing none. Okay. So requesting that first, the amendment passes. So now the title reads, requesting that first year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold virtual discussions in whatever way they deem appropriate. Okay, perfect. Any other amendments that we would want to make to this resolution?
I do have one that I am in the process of writing. Give me a hot second.
We will wait for your amendment.
Trying to make it literate.
We could do live video discussions instead of saying synchronous discussions in the abstract.
Yeah, something along the lines of like, whereas if a professor deems a written discussion on Canvas or like a secure university site permissible and academically, like it has the academic integrity there, then that is permissible for a student.
Okay.
Would like you mind, I said, trying to make it literate.
Would you mind typing that in the chat, please, before I think I might have missed quite a bit of that amendment, actually.
Could we try replacing synchronous discussions wherever it occurs in the resolution with live video discussions and see how that makes it look? Just if that would be more clear.
Is that a formal amendment, Ariel?
Sure.
Okay, so just to make sure I have this correct, instead of synchronous, you want to replace that with live video discussions.
Yeah.
Okay, so the amendment is to replace synchronous, the word synchronous, in the whole resolution to live video discussions.
Yes. Can we scroll down and see where else it occurs? Sorry, I don't remember.
Can we do Control F, Alexa? And then
it won't let me.
Oh, bummer.
Wait. There we go. Now it's working. Okay. So is it
asynchronous or synchronous? That's the problem.
So for synchronous, it's like at the same time, replace it with live video. So don't replace the asynchronous instances though. You're probably gonna have to do this manually.
Okay.
Live video. Yeah.
A live video?
No, that's it's fine how it is.
Teaching synchronously.
You could probably leave that one. Provide boost.
Okay, those don't count.
Yeah, because that's a quote.
Okay.
Okay, that's all of them.
Thank you, Alexa. So the amendment to replace synchronous with live video is now in the resolution. Is there a second to change synchronous to live video in the whole resolution? Again, the amendment is to change synchronous, the word synchronous, to live video in the whole resolution. Okay, thank you, Cody. There's been a second. Thank you, Jaren. Is there any dissent?
Oops, my battery is running low.
To changing synchronous to live video? Okay, seeing none. Okay, the amendment passes. Synchronous now changes to live video in the resolution. Any other amendments? Now we're going back to the all of the resolution. Do we want to make any other amendments or do we want to call to question?
I see one from Catherine in the chat.
Okay. Okay. Catherine, can you remind us where you want that to be?
I think the most ideal place for that to be would be, I keep trying to scroll on Alexa's screen, thinking that that's the document. Just because it kind of, I guess, goes in well.
Uh-huh.
Line. Probably between 38 and 39 or 41 and 42.
Okay. Do you want to choose one?
I'm asking for your opinion. I just think it's more of a point of clarity.
Uh-huh.
So
can you remind me what lines you want to add this in?
It's here.
Sorry, it's in the chat.
In order to preserve academic integrity as well as intellectual property. So you want to add that.
So it's basically saying the teacher shouldn't have to do a video recording when there is as much beneficial learning to be done through a physical discussion on Canvas in a discussion chat. Okay. On Canvas. And furthermore, that will preserve both academic integrity as well as intellectual property of the professor because the recording can't therefore be shared.
Okay, and just to make sure, you don't want that as a separate whereas clause. You want it to tag it to something else.
Well, I was saying it could go as a separate whereas, and I was saying the ideal place for that could be between either 39 and 40 or.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was more asking for opinion on that.
Let me phrase it as an amendment and see what the people think.
Okay.
So the current amendment is to add a whereas clause, which reads between line 39 and 40. So the whereas clause would be, whereas in order to preserve academic integrity as well as intellectual property. Is there a second to adding that between lines 39 and 40? Now you can see it on the screen. I don't see a second.
Can I just make a comment? Catherine, I super appreciate you trying to come up with this whereas clause, and I think it would add to the resolution, but I think it would also be great if we moved on to the other business because we also have elections. And I think that maybe it could stand alone without the whereas at the time being.
Okay.
So
thank you so much for trying to do that though.
So Kat, do you want to rescind that
amendment? I can rescind that amendment.
Okay. So the amendment to add that clause has been rescinded. Okay, anything else? Any amendments to this resolution? Did I see something in the chat?
Something about replacing professor with instructor.
It was only relevant to the amendment, which is now not relevant.
Okay.
Thank you, Jaren. So now we're back to the whole resolution. Do we want to call it to question, table it?
I motion to call it to question.
Okay, there's been a motion to call the question, the resolution requesting that first year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold a...
Hold on. I think Everett raised his hand.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. Everett, yes.
Oh, I raised my hand a second.
Oh, thank you.
That was under the understanding. That's how we were supposed to...
Yes, thank you, Everett. Thank you. Everett seconded the calling to question of voting on Resolution 15, requesting the first-year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold. And now I forgot the new titles. Alexa, can you scroll back up, please? So we are voting on this resolution requesting that first year writing seminar instructors be allowed to hold virtual discussions in whatever way they deem appropriate. Okay. And there was a second by Everett. Any dissent to voting on this resolution? Okay, seeing none. Okay. So no dissent. So now we are voting on this resolution. So if you can, voting members, if you can use your yes to vote in favor of this resolution. Do we have quorum?
I think some people left. We might not have quorum anymore.
Well, 14. 14 makes quorum.
Okay, we're good.
15, okay. Thank you all very much for your patience. Okay, last call to vote on this resolution in favor. Okay, I see 15. Okay, any dissent on this resolution? So I'm gonna clear, and if you can use your no. Okay, seeing none. Last call for opposing this resolution, no? Any abstentions? Use your yes to abstain. Last call. Okay, seeing none. This resolution passes 15-0-10. Congratulations, Ariel.
Great.
Okay.
Congrats to the medieval studies students who wrote this.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that concludes our new business.
No, it doesn't.
No, one more.
Jaren.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jaren, yes.
If you want me to...
I have it open. Let me open it.
Okay, so now we move on to an additional new business resolution, which is... demanding Cornell fight to, resolution 16, demanding Cornell fight for fair terms for the remote services its community is required to use. Okay.
All right. So last semester we heard about mandatory arbitration clauses and class action bans in online services and why those are extremely harmful if an online service misuses your data.
Jaren, can you speak a little louder or closer to the mic, please?
Yes, I'm right up into it now.
That's perfect.
If an online service misuses your data or otherwise harms you through neglect or malice, you are not able to sue in court, nor can you group together with the other people harmed. You all need your own lawyers. We got a response from the president on that resolution that these are typical terms and that she did not even attempt to contact CashNet to get them removed. This resolution does a couple things. One, in this changed climate, it's seen as the option to go in person to the bursar and do most anything in person is now much more difficult. This resolution re-clarifies that these terms are harmful and that students rely on them to interface with Cornell. And second, it highlights the fact that a mandatory arbitration and a class action ban are present in the Zoom terms of service. Zoom is now required for many TAs to use. Zoom has a terrible record in privacy and security, including a bug as recent as last fall that would let an attacker start Zoom on anyone's Mac who had ever had Zoom installed before and turn on the camera. Clearly, there is a precedent and possibility of harm to come to the users of Zoom. And the fact that its terms mandate that arbitration happen instead of going to court and no class actions be filed is terrible. This resolution asks the university to actually reach out and contact Zoom and CashNet to ask these terms be removed. This is an action which often causes companies to remove the terms because, you know, it's a small cost to just remove the terms. The resolution goes on to ask Cornell if they cannot get those terms removed to support the legal struggle of any Cornell student harmed by one of these services in the course of their required use. And I can take any questions.
Thank you. So Alexa, if you could look at the chat to see if there's any questions, we'll open it up for questions.
I can't, I lost the chat.
I don't see any now.
Okay, one second, I'm trying my best here.
Okay. Again, does anyone have any questions for Jaren about Resolution 16? Okay.
If there are no questions, I'd like to move to suspend the bylaws and move this discussion today.
Okay.
Second. Okay.
Okay. There's been a motion to suspend the article on the bylaws and vote today. Doa, that was the second. Is there any dissent to suspending the bylaws, the portion of the bylaws to vote on this resolution today? Is there any dissent? Okay. Seeing none, okay. The article on the bylaws has been suspended, so we can discuss the resolution today. Okay, are there any amendments that we would like to make to this resolution?
I would like to propose an amendment to my own resolution.
Okay.
I'd like to move the block quote between lines 27 and 32 into the end note number 7 and replace the whereas with whereas our item 20 of Zoom's terms mandate arbitration and ban class action. I was inspired by the block quoting going on in Ariel's last resolution.
Sorry, where was that?
So the block is right at the, scroll up a little bit more. There's a block quote right here at the bottom of this page. So move the entire thing to the end note. I think it's end note 7. Yeah.
Okay, so the amendment was to move the block quote to the end notes.
We can figure out the indentation later. I'm not.
was that it, Jaren? Was that your amendment?
Yes, that was the amendment. And then change the text to make sense. So that's a sentence now. The text up in the actual whereas statement. Oh, right. So.
Okay. And.
Remove the text between read and terms, including terms.
Okay, this is all part of the same amendment. So we moved.
So two more words gone, Alexa. Read in terms also removed.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I said the wrong thing, so.
So the amendment is to move the block quote to the end note, and now where the whereas clause reads, whereas item 20 of Zoom's terms mandate arbitration and ban class action. Okay. Okay. Is there a second to that amendment? or discussion?
Second.
There's been a second. Thank you, Ariel. Is there a dissent to that, to making that amendment, moving the block clause and fixing that sentence? Okay. Seeing none, the amendment passes. Now we're back to discussing the whole resolution. Okay. Are there any other amendments that people want to make? You can change the language. You can change the title like we did before. You can leave it as it is. Okay. I'm not seeing any questions or any hands. Okay. We can also vote on this resolution. Maybe I see something in the chat.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the chat. I can't.
Okay, let's see. Jake wants to know if the resolution number is still correct.
Now it is correct, yes. It's okay. Resolution 16.
Okay, yes. And then I think this might be a question. What do we have to do for elections tonight? And will it be able to get them since it's far out on the agenda? We have a lot more cover before we get there. Good question. We are going to vote in our divisions for our new exec members. No,
voting members.
Voting members. Thank you. For our new voting members. And we anticipate that shouldn't take too long. Okay. So besides those questions, does anyone want to make any additional amendments or call to question vote on the resolution?
Motion to call to question.
Okay, there's
seconded.
There's been a motion to call to question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to vote on the resolution? Seeing none. Okay. So now we are voting on the resolution as it is with the amendments that we made. So if you can use your yes to vote in favor of this resolution. Alexa, can you remind me, which is Resolution 16, demanding Cornell fight for fair terms for the remote services its community is required to use. Kavya, that might be a possibility. Okay, last call to vote on this resolution.
Vote yes.
Vote yes, vote in favor of this resolution. Okay, last call. Okay, those opposed. Clear. Any opposed? Let me see. Do we still have quorum?
I'm counting right now.
Okay, there's a no. Is that a dissent? You can let me know privately through the chat. Are we good on quorum, Alexa?
And then a small Baja Blast for the regular, whatever the small one is.
I think you're...
You don't have quorum.
You don't have quorum.
Whatever the smallest one is, the small, yeah.
There's not enough people to vote on this. And there's not enough people to do anything else in this meeting.
Then, if I may, a question for the exec committee. I know we only said that we're only doing meetings once every now and just the one in May, but if we're not even through old business technically, and we still have to do things like, you know, get chairs and everything else, can we schedule a meeting between now and the last one so that we have a new penultimate meeting in order to try to get finished all the business that we did today?
That's definitely a possibility, Everett, to include that meeting. We were trying to avoid that, but it looks like more business might come up.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. So, yeah, I think we're going to need the other meeting.
Right. Jeremy?
Yeah, I wanted to motion to table old business and further items from today for next meeting. But I really agree with what Everett said. I don't want to make the last meeting a two-hour meeting when really the business from today should be forward. But the motion I'm putting forward is to suspend for the action for today, since we can't really vote on much, to next time. But okay. if you want to mention anything else about that, or anybody else wants to jump in about what you just said, that's great. I'm just bringing forward the other motion I just said.
I just want to be on record, because we haven't even cleared out old business yet officially. Plus we have committee reports, plus we have everything else. Right. I mean, I took over as approach chair, and I still got to recruit members to fill my committee and to fill my seat now. So.
Okay. So.
So let's focus on this business and then.
Fair enough. Sorry. Definitely.
Okay. No. So thank you very much. So right now we have the resolution on the table. We can't vote on it, so we'll have to table it to the next meeting. We don't have quorum, so we'll go ahead and table it. Okay, now I think we can not vote, but see if we can add the original scheduled meeting back to the agenda.
Well, we can talk about that in our exec meeting on Friday.
Okay. Okay. We might also, the other possibility is to vote electronically on these resolutions and have the discussions be done on the Slack forum. So that's another way that we can continue to do business and not have to have an additional meeting. Okay.
Doa raised her hand.
Doa?
If you, in the exec meeting, if you choose to go with the online voting, could you please add voting members to the Slack channel?
Yes.
About resolution?
Yes. I think some people were having trouble logging in or accessing the Slack channel. So let us know if that's one of you, and we can send you an invitation for that.
I am in the Slack. I just had to go to the channels list and then add myself to the all the resolution channels individually. So I was wondering if you could do that for voting members.
Oh, I'm not sure if we have to do that, or if we have if we can do that, or if it has to be individual members.
It can go both ways. Just as a quick note, you can add people to a channel.
Okay.
But there shouldn't be a problem of adding yourself to a channel too.
There's no problem. It's just adding yourself to a channel for everyone is a longer process than you adding people to a channel.
Okay.
I want to bring that. Thank you.
We'll go ahead and try to do that, Doa. But if we have trouble adding you, then we'll have to be happy to add yourself. You being collective you. Victoria?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any way that some of this stuff that isn't very pressing that needs to get done between now and May, if it could be either tabled or suspended definitely, just because, I feel like we've just got to respect people's time. We already told them that we weren't going to have this meeting. Some people have already said and made plans.
Right.
To add that back, we don't even know if we'd have quorum. So I would probably poll the voting members first to see if they're even available. Number two, for master's and professional students, classes have started again. So that is something to keep in mind. And I just think we should just be focusing on the most important stuff as of right now. Like I'm already late for another meeting. So I just thought I'd voice that opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll give Jeff. Jeff, did you want to say something?
Hey, Channel. So I would, if you're, am I not, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I was just mentioning that in regards to if you do consider online vote, I would recommend strictly keeping it on email just for electronic records. Distributing of documents and stuff can go through the Slack as well as discussion, but I'd be wary about actual voting.
Oh, yes, definitely. The way that we've been doing regular voting is to do online votes. That way it's on the...
Okay, great.
So thank you for that.
Great.
Okay, thank you all for your patience. We're exhausting our 30-minute time that we added to the clock. So right now we can't continue any more business, official business, because we don't have quorum. So before I go, Everett, did you have something else to add?
I do, and I understand Victoria's point regarding the cancellation and then the resumption of another meeting, but I think also in part because of the delays in the schedule and everything else, but also because we have things like dealing with elections regarding all the election positions we have to get done, and then dealing with transition, and then also dealing with collecting for the student member, UVA graduate me wants to call it the student member of the Board of Visitors, but I mean, the
trustee?
The trustee election is canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, so, but what are we, but I understand that, but canceled outright, but doesn't the person need to have, don't they, sorry.
They're rescheduling it to the fall.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that wouldn't be on, that's not under our agenda anymore.
Anyway. All right, fair enough. But for everything else that is, I still imagine elections and everything taking a non-trivial amount of time as well. So
yes,
we'll discuss all of this at our exec meeting on Friday. Just bear with us; like we're really, really trying here.
And I understand.
We'll be corresponding with you guys over email. We'll tell you what's going on. We'll make sure we get all of your points in when we make these decisions, but like right now there isn't anything that we can do.
I understand. I'm not being judgmental. Please don't think what I'm saying was trying to be. I'm just trying to make sure that that we try to leave whoever's around next year on as strong a foot as possible, and that we can clear as much business as we can.
Oh, thank you, Every. Yes, that's very considerate. But all the business that doesn't get done, we start with a whole new slate next year. So the new exec team and the new GPSA won't have to worry about that. And then, Kavya, did you have a question or comment?
Sorry, I need to be unmuted. Just as a really quick note, the TA resolution kind of brought this up, but as there will also be students who might want to run for GPSA that might not be in Ithaca next semester or might be working remotely. So I don't know if the Constitution has anything on working remotely as a voting member or exec member, and if that's something we're considering adding.
That, as far as I know, there is nothing about working remotely through the Constitution, but if it's something that needs to be added, we might be able to change that.
I wanted to bring it up before elections happen and maybe take a conversation. I don't want to take up too much time right now.
Yeah, so, but to answer your question, yes, any GPSA, any graduate professional student can run for office.
Right.
Yes, okay, yes. Okay, with that, we will end the meeting. We will adjourn the meeting if we can't get any business done. So,
later, y'all.
Okay, so can someone motion to end the meeting and then we can
also move.
Okay, so there's been a motion to end the meeting. Is there, there's a second from Cody. Okay. Is there any dissent? Okay. Seeing none, okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your patience. We will be in touch with our plans for the future.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.